Although I expected the sermon title to be in the bulletin or at least advertised, really what I'm calling this sermon is Cursing in Church. And some of you are thinking, goodness sakes, that's how inappropriate. Well, I don't think so. You see, there are seven psalms in our scriptures that start off this kind of a way. And we sometimes wonder, how did they even get in there? One daring sermon, I remember Pastor Ryan walking down the aisle and asking, is there any passage of scripture or verse that you need an answer to why it's here, what it's meaning? And one of them was given. And we'll mention that later on. The Psalms, though, are responses of people's life in light of their felt presence or absence of God. Where is God? Why aren't you here? In our prayers of the people today, the litany of stuff that we read and see on television every day, and you question, where does this come from? Why is there not an end to it? Well, nothing is too big or too small, for that matter, too bad or too good for us to bring before the living God. Now, we should learn to pray the Psalms. That whole range of human emotions is present in the Psalms. There's joy, sorrow, shame, compassion, laughter, sadness, weeping, despair, anger, wrath, and fear are all in the Psalms. And this is our prayer book. The Psalms encourage us to express legitimate human feelings and emotions. Pray them, sing them, cry them, think about them, shout them, and in every way be honest with those feelings you have. Bundle your emotions up in a text message and send it. You know, when I'm honest, I arrive in church sometimes feeling some anger. And maybe once in your life, you've come to church seething with a memory tape about a bully at work or at school, or there's been some little issue at home. Or maybe you came stressed to the breaking point from that stupid driver who gave you a taste of road rage, and you really wanted to shout out, the light's not going to get any greener. Or seeing someone texting on the wheel while they're driving, God smite that snake's belly of a distracted driver. But instead, you probably gave that sweet taste of half a peace sign. You know, there used to be a difference in meaning between cursing and cussing. But I don't think there is anymore. Cursing, swearing, cussing all seems to flow together into one condoned action. All the same to the media, movies, music lyrics. Movie characters and rap and hip-hop artists punctuate their sentences not with curses, but with downright gross, vile, indecent language, cussing, swearing with vulgar obscenities, and profaning God's name. I've always thought that the use of profanity was because of a limited vocabulary or trying desperately to belong to that group. When our boys were younger, we had one rule about the music: no Eddie Murphy words allowed. As I mentioned, there are seven psalms classified as imprecatory psalms. Now, to imprecate is to invoke evil or harm on someone. A curse is called down evil or harm on someone else. In the imprecatory psalms, the psalmist cries out to God to bring down that evil and harm on the head of the enemy or perceived enemy of God, as if God wasn't big enough to handle it. And the writer is expressing those inner emotions, the anger that bubbles up and overflows with the harsh and violent sense, something's got to be righted. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 137, again, an imprecatory psalm. And you know how it ends. It starts, "On the rivers of Babylon we sat down." Boney M. made it famous years and years ago. "Daughters of Babylon, doomed to destruction, happy are those who repay you for what you have done to us. Happy are those who seize your infants and dash them against the rocks." Whoa, that's in the Psalms? That's in Scripture? Well, the psalmist's words were expressing their emotions. We do it. You remember after the 9/11 attack, there were bumper stickers, "Nuke them till they glow." That's a curse. Other curses by the psalmist, though, are not always quite so vindictive or bloody-minded. Psalm 35 reads, "May those who seek my life be disgraced and put to shame." Or the one we had read today, "Break the teeth in their mouths, O God. Lord, tear out their fangs." Karen and I had the privilege of being in a small group with Eugene Peterson for a while in Vancouver. And I can assure you, he is indeed mild-mannered, very gracious, pleasant. And yet in the message, he translates that very piece that was read for us today like this: "God, smash their teeth to bits. Leave them toothless tigers. Leave their lives like buckets of water spilled. All that is left is a damp stain in the sand. Let them be trampled grass, worn smooth by traffic. Let them dissolve into slug slime. Be a miscarried fetus that never sees sunlight." Whoa, just a moment. Or take note of Psalm 109 in these days. It says, "May his days be few. May another take his place of leadership." Sounds like the 2015 federal election prayer from some folks. But we somehow have developed a supercilious notion that Christians can't or shouldn't let our anger or stress or disgust be shown, and that we're not to express our emotions about the realities of life. We've bought into some ridiculous notion that a true believer is always happy-clappy. You can't be sad, and you can only show the joy of the Lord. Nonsense. Now, to be a little bit personal, Karen and I live out of the city, and these mornings I am awaking to a rooster crowing, and sometimes my sentiment is, curse your doodle-doo. That rooster should be someone's evening dinner. Then I realize I'm angry because my cancer pain is overshadowing me, and so I get up and swallow milligrams of pain and palliative care medicines. Oh, some mornings, as I wait for the meds to kick in, I just think, I really am glad that Jesus has promised a resurrection. And by the way, I am very thankful for the prayers, sustaining prayers of the community of faith. Now, despite what our pastor Jeremy said a few weeks ago in his sermon, in talking about or alluding to country music, you CBC fans would have missed an imprecatory country song which was called "I'll Pray For You." It was written and sung by Jaron and the Long Road to Love. It goes sort of like this. I'm not going to sing it, for which you are grateful. "I haven't been to church since I don't remember when. Things were going great till they fell apart again. So I listened to the preacher as he told me what to do. He said, you can't go hating others who have done wrong to you. Sometimes we get angry, but we must not condemn. Let the good Lord do his job, and you just pray for them in the chorus. I pray your brakes go out running down a hill. I pray a flower pot falls from a windowsill and knocks you on the head like I'd like to do. I pray your birthday comes and nobody calls. I pray you're flying high when your engine stalls. I pray all your dreams never come true. Just know wherever you are, honey, I pray for you. And it goes on in that vein. But God is big enough to listen to and hear all of our fears, angers, rage, stress, and pent-up emotion. The psalmists were honest, and they expressed their anxiety openly to God. That's how they felt, and they said it, and we should learn to do that as well. The psalmist knew the harsh reality of their day, and there was no rule of law that brought justice to the people in the courts or the communities. Injustice was the normal pattern, and they needed to air that before God, as we should as well. But sadly, in our time, there are parts of the world that are even worse off than the psalmist knew. There are parts of our own country where injustice is alive and well. Human trafficking, drug trafficking, child and spousal abuse, racism. Well, I think all of the isms are kind of out of control. Extreme right-wing fundamentalism or extreme left-wing liberalism, they're both oppressive. There are days when we hear of victims being doubly victimized, and the second time is by the system. And it feels at times when you read the news that the criminal gets all the breaks, or the power brokers, and the poor and the oppressed get nothing. I personally think that the legal system in Canada is alive and well, but the justice system is broken. And we want to scream out to the Lord, God, this is unfair, unjust, and I feel like nothing is right anymore, and I want vigilante action. God, terminate, eliminate, I'll dance to that music. However, if we read through the Psalms, the imprecatory Psalms, we find that at the end, the Lord is spoken to by the psalmist who says, vengeance is for the Lord. It is not ours to carry out. It's for the Lord to determine. The cry in the Psalms is for God's justice to be wrought upon the evildoers and for God to settle the debts and wrongs. And the Lord will make it right. So we begin that way, as the psalmist did, but we turn and place it in the hands of the Lord. If we're people of faith, then we are to place our faith and hope in God. Yeah, speak your emotions in prayer. Follow the example of the psalmist then in giving it over to God. Psalm 69:30 ends by, again, another imprecatory psalm. I will praise God's name in song and glorify God with praise. The Lord hears the needy and does not despise the captives. Psalm 109, which I quoted a verse from, with my mouth I will greatly extol the Lord. In the great throng of worshipers, I will praise him. For God stands at the right hand of the needy to save their lives from those who would condemn them. It is the Lord who has chosen to stand by his and form his people. Most of these imprecatory psalms end with the appeal to God. God, we're hurting. We have expressed what we really are feeling, but it's your creation, and we put this all back in your hands. Yes, cry out to the Lord for justice and mercy. Tell God that you are feeling angry and want vengeance, but then turn those emotions around and place them in God's outstretched arms. Give it all to God. We pray, thy will be done. Sometimes we want my will to be done. As I mentioned, morning and evening, after I fill my stomach with drugs and wait the required hour before I can have real food, I do pray a different prayer. Simple one. Sometimes it applies to me. Most of the time it's to all of us. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. The book of Revelation reveals to us that there is a final judgment, and the promise addressed to the downtrodden, to the persecuted church, to those martyred, the victims of oppression, of violence, of abuse, and injustice, and all of those things we rail against. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. For true and just are the Lord's judgments. For our God, in whom we put our trust, the Almighty reigns. Yes, pray the truth. We are in pain and hurting, and we see others in worse situations. We feel helpless. Then we turn it back to God. Let us rejoice and be glad and give God the glory, for our God reigns. Hallelujah.